It is 10:59 here on a wonderful Tuesday morning. Little ditty about Jack. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren, it is The Invasion. We're glad to have you. Hope you'll stay with us for a bit because we have to get into the Mavs. And not just that, but you texted last night and said that might be at one point the best you've seen the Mavs in a long, long time. So we'll dive into that coming up in about 15 minutes. But it is time, as we do each and every Tuesday, for a little hot dogs in paradise. And so this came up. Oh, this was last week. We were talking about our first crushes, and it ended up, the first time we ever went to the movies with the girl. You always remember that movie and who it was. And you had thrown out that in 1986, you took a date to see the C. Thomas Howell movie, Soul Man. And all of us, like, Soul, like, what? And I looked it up, and I had never seen it. I don't think that I had ever heard of it before. And this was a movie released in October of 1986. It made $35 million at the box office. And the week that it was released was the number three movie in the country. And the premise of the entire film is a rich white kid who wants to go to Harvard, but his dad says, no, I'm not going to pay for it. So he has to get a scholarship. And the only scholarship he can find in his area that will pay tuition is for an African-American person. So he decides to make himself black. And this is the movie that unfolds.
I'm trying to remember if I knew exactly what I was getting myself into back in 86.
That is my top question.
Yes, that was mine as well.
How aware were you of what you were going to see?
I wonder if you'd remember, did you see a preview?
Man,
like walking in, the movie poster would have been up, and on the movie poster it says, "Guess who's coming to college? Soul Man, a comedy with heart and soul."
And it's just white.
It's
C.
just
Thomas
a white
Howell.
Dude. So just I don't know if you would have known.
That's a great question. I don't know if I can go back that long and tell you exactly what I was thinking, or it was just the movie that was starting at the particular time that we were going to meet. I have no clue.
I feel like back then there were only like two choices when you went to the movie theater.
No, there's more. There's more than that. It's just, I don't know.
I paid a nickel to get in and it was in black and white.
I'm not 80. Good Lord. I just know I went up to Redbird. It's because Redbird had a couple of, three different movie theaters in that area. They had the Redbird 1-4, they had the 5-10. And then there was the UA South that was kind of down the street on the other side of the mall. So you had your choice of three different movie theaters to go to. Can't remember which one I went to. I think it was at the Redbird 5-10. But yeah, met the girl there and we went in to watch Soul Man. And her name is Teresa. And I need to formally apologize right now to Teresa. I was a lousy first date and I'm sorry. I was 15. Probably couldn't do any better. Don't know what other movie that was out there that we could have seen, but we went to go see that, and I'm sorry. I have that out the way.
You could have seen The Color of Money or Crocodile Dundee, the other two movies ahead of this one at that time.
Boy, I don't know that either of those other two are going to play better than this.
Color of Money, I'm out. There's no way I want to see
Newman
that.
Paul Newman and Tom Cruise, it's a pool shark movie really about Minnesota fats.
Crocodile Dundee?
Would that have gotten you...
I don't think so. Not 15-year-old me. I don't care.
And definitely not. That's not a date night movie. Crocodile. That's a.
You laugh. It's fun.
That's a movie with the boys.
Maybe so. I don't know. But
talking about knives and whatnot.
So man, it was. It's bad. And it's so bad that you think about it now in 2024 context, and you just almost just raise up your hands, going, "How in the hell did this get the green light?" In Hollywood.
This is honestly the most racist movie I've ever seen. Every racial stereotype you could possibly ever think of or you've ever heard, they somehow put into this movie. And what's nuts about this is, because it takes about 20-ish minutes, maybe even a little longer, before they get into the idea of, oh, I'm going to try to do this.
Right.
Even before you, like, say you had no concept of this film, those 20 minutes are god-awful.
Pretty bad. He wakes up with a random girl in the bed. then the roommate just burst into the room and they find out that they're going to Harvard Law.
He's like, oh, let me introduce myself. And he turns to the girl he just slept with. He goes, I'm Mark. And the whole time, this is kind of how he talks through the whole movie.
He's very
I'm not
expressive.
Going to get to go to Harvard. How would I live my life? And that, this is C. Thomas Howell, who was in The Outsiders.
I know. That was probably one of the three times that may elicit even a bit of a chuckle in the movie, was when he turned and introduced himself to the girl that was in the bed. I was okay. It's okay.
You were open. You were open to comedy at that point because that was like 120 seconds in.
But that's my whole time. That's my point. Like that's only the second or third time, two or three times in the whole entire movie that may elicit even a bit of a chuckle to say, okay, you can see how that may have been funny back in 1986. But man, I'm telling you, the one that got me, I had forgotten about because I've only seen it once and I really didn't remember too much that was going on. The dinner scene.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
The most. So he goes to dinner. He starts dating this white girl.
The
who,
landlord.
By the way,
the was, landlord's daughter.
Leslie Nielsen's daughter.
Yes.
Who ends up, and the girl in the movie ends up being Jan from The Office later in her movie career.
I didn't realize that.
Acting career. So.
Pretty hot.
She looks good.
She dates him because she wants to date a black guy.
Yes. That's the only
and
reason.
And dude, her comment after they were on the floor, after they had slept together, what she said is unbelievably racist.
He's black.
That's not what
and then
she said.
They go to dinner.
Well, yeah.
And Leslie Nielsen's character is just super, I mean, he is like a plant. He's like the dude from Django Unchained. Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he's okay. That racist.
All right. Yeah, he didn't want
Mr. Candy?
I'm not like
he's Montour Candy. Yeah.
Old ass, white-haired white dude
that didn't want anyone of color living in his building. So if they do any little thing, you evict them. Like
and of course
anything.
It's he goes, "You know, like really loud music or drugs." And you're just like college kids or, oh no, cause you're super racist. And then he goes to dinner with this white girl. It's her mom, her dad, her, and her little brother.
Yeah. So each of them have a thought in their heads about how, I guess, black people act are, because of course the mom wants to sleep with him.
And fantasizes about him looking like a pirate because he had an earring and a knife in his teeth. And he changes his voice completely and then reaches like he's going to rip off her top. And she's
all of a sudden she just snaps out of her dream. Well, the dad dreams about him being really, really forceful to his daughter while eating a certain fruit while she's pregnant and he's ordering her around.
And he's dressed up like Snoop Dogg's character in Starsky and Hutch.
Jeez. And then the young boy, the brother, is watching music videos on his whatever. And then he imagines him almost like Prince.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Just playing a guitar. Yeah. And that was like, holy moly. I was so glad,
dude,
that the math game was about to start. So I had to turn it off at that point and just had to cleanse my palate with basketball before I went back
none
and
of us
watched
the
rest
it
of it.
All the way through.
No, it couldn't.
Right? No,
I watched couldn't the, do it. I watched the entire thing. I stopped.
All the way through? Like, no stopping?
No, I went and watched the Mavs game.
Okay,
and then
what
I came
I
back
asking.
To it and finished it. But during that scene at the table, me and her, because I watched it, we both just look at each other and go like this. Like, we both realized both of our mouths, we were just, I could not believe that was a thing that they did.
And it continued to get worse. Like, you thought, not only did the quality of the film continue to get worse, but the racism kept amping up as well. You would think a movie about blackface, like, it's kind of, you know, on, you know, it's right there. You know what is going to be the worst part.
Right.
But it's not.
Right.
And they so just keep stacking it up.
He only started feeling things and wanted to out himself because of how he was being dealt with as a black man. Of course, he got stopped by the cops. He gets arrested. He's in jail.
He gets beat up in prison by a bunch of random white dudes wearing Eagles jerseys
that were really extremely racist for no reason.
Yeah, they dropped the hard R on
him.
They
lost a game and they whooped his ass because they lost the game to black people.
And then I guess he just went straight to class after
because
that?
Because he was all beat up.
Yeah. James Earl Jones is in this movie and has a prominent role. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in this film.
Turns out Darth Vader might have just been collecting checks in the
80s. Dude, I'm going to... In the fact... Of course, not only did
I'll
he
never
not
watch
like,
Field of Dreams the same way. Terrence Mann is just letting all this just go.
He didn't like how he was getting treated, but then he finds out because he falls in love with Ray Don Chong, who is black. And so he finds out that he's... Because only one person could get the scholarship because he's from L.A. And it had to be a black person would get the scholarship from L.A. County or whatever it was. And he applied right at the end and wins it. And then she reveals to him, and he finds out she's a single mom. She has a 2 or 3 year old little boy. She lives at home with her grandparents or whatever it is. She has to work a job because she can't afford to go. And then he finds out, oh my God, you're from San Diego. I stole the scholarship from California you were going to get. I feel bad about pretending to be black.
Now I have to go out myself because I love you.
My God.
But we have to have comedy ensue too.
Dude. Right, like his racist parents who, because he forgets to hide himself because his parents know, wait. And somehow, even though you sound exactly like the dude, you still look exactly like the dude just with a different haircut, basically, right? His parents... He comes into the kitchen and his mom's like, he's got a knife. And his dad's like, stand back, I'll handle this.
But the dad has a knife as he goes out. Like,
what are we doing?
Well, how about him going full Stevie Wonder when he's trying to make sure that Julia Louis-Dreyfus and her boyfriend didn't know who he was? Like, how is this even possible?
And the whole time. So after he takes the tanning pills that change his hair apparently into a Jerry curl. He doesn't change his voice ever in the movie, but when his parents come over, he just starts talking completely different.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, we didn't like that.
No, of course not.
That was bad.
And even when he was, James Earl Jones was taking role in the First Class.
He had a couple of jokes.
He had to make sure.
I forgot about that.
And of course we have a basketball stereotype. Of course, pretty early in the movie, right. As they get to Harvard and they want him on the team, you know.
But he's really a white guy, so he misses the basket completely when he shoots.
Well, but that's because, you know, they put the other black guy on him, so it's a bit of a mismatch.
It's just
couldn't even dribble. He racked himself dribbling.
The best.
Okay, so that part was kind of funny.
He ends up coming back. They go to Christmas break, and he ends up after Christmas break revealing, I'm actually this white guy. Here I am. You might have noticed because I'm no longer super tan, and my hair is totally different now.
I know.
And then, despite tricking this girl that had fallen in love with him, despite tricking this super high-level Harvard lawyer who was also black and James Earl Jones' character, they both are like, we get it.
Kind of a solid guy, actually.
But then you almost get the white privilege because he's allowed not only to stay, he has to get a job and he has to do a couple of other things.
Yeah, he has to set up a scholarship fund.
There's no consequences whatsoever.
No, he gets mentored by the guy that he duped and then dates the girl that he took everything from.
Well, yes, but it's because they were sitting in the cafeteria and these two white guys made a racist joke and he just lays them out and then she goes, now I like you.
That's not a white knight at all.
My God.
So thanks, Donovan.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to share a part of my life you guys.
I have decided if I can time travel, I'm going back to the day that you took her to the movies, and I'm going to be like, excuse me, do you know what this movie's about? I need to know if you knew walking in.
Here are 2 tickets to Crocodile Dundee.
Yes,
please do you a big favor.
Do you like Australians?
Go check that out.
How do you
don't
feel about
that.
Knives?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's a pretty bad flick.
Mike, I can't believe it got made. And the fact that nobody in that movie, it didn't affect their careers at all. Everybody's, I guess, and I don't know, in the mid-80s, I guess this was just accepted? I don't know.
And then the guy, when he took the tanning pills the first time, floored his best friend so badly that he was jogging. So he jogged off a pier into the ocean because he was so shocked that his friend now had dark skin. I'm kind of glad we went back and watched it. It's a terrible movie, but I'm glad we did because that was 86 in a nutshell. It was so bad. so good.
So what's next?
I don't know. I guess I need to discover what other dates I went on and what other
movies.
They're
putting the BMX biking movie Rad in theaters for one day coming up in March 21st. Did you ever see that?
What?
I've never even heard
Rad.
Of that.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's awesome. I love Rad.
All right, it's 11:13. It's the world's most dangerous midday
that
show.
That might be the next